You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome, everyone, to the second episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell. Today, we're going to go through some more of the sportsman classes, into some of the pro classes as well, and Shane, man, I'm excited. Anago's right around the corner, and we're already on episode 2 of the podcast this year.
Yeah, it's really coming at us quick, Brent, and both of us, I think the few times we talked through the winter, it just felt like winter dragged on forever and ever and ever. And finally, the weather's getting a little bit warmer, at least here in Wisconsin where I am. We've seen that Anago is starting to prep the redesign track there at Roaring Lions Raceway, So it's coming up on us really quick here. So, yeah, let's dive into this. We talked enough on the last podcast, we ran long. Let's call it that way.
Just a little bit.
It's easy for us. We get talking about racing and all bets are off. So let's start it off. Traditional light buggy. I'm a buggy guy. Everybody knows it. The story last year, of course, Colin Schultz had 6 wins. He beat Greg Stingel by 33 points last year in the points chase. Stingel did have a win. You also had Taylor Roloff with 2 wins. Connor Schultz, the other twin, with 3 wins. Is this a year, do you think Colin Schultz can three-peat in light buggy? It's such a competitive class.
Well, I mean, if anyone can, he can is three-peat. I mean, you've watched him for how many years, and he just keeps progressing and progressing. He's very, very smart behind the wheel. He knows what the car's doing. He has a great group of guys and gals behind him, making him get that car where it needs to be. And anytime you can hold Stingel to 1 win in a whole season, you're doing something right. But there is a lot of competition. Taylor Roloff, Connor Schultz, 3 wins, 2 wins for Roloff. I mean, granted, it's going to come down to the wire, I believe, but to stop calling right now, it's going to be tough.
I had a conversation just a couple of weeks ago with Ryan Stingel, and we were talking about Colin Schultz, and the way that Ryan talked, he fully believes that Colin is elevating light buggy as a whole right now. He flat out told me Colin does things in a light buggy that other guys didn't think you could run those lines and make it work. He said he's never seen anything like it. That's a really high praise coming from Ryan Stingel.
Yeah, that's a big confidence builder for Colin himself. I mean, for somebody at that level to say those nice words and to see that out of his own eyes is amazing. He reminds me a lot of Mikey Vandenhoevel. Because the way you talk, Shane, and say, oh, he's finding lines that Stingel said he's never seen before and he's going different places. Well, if you watch Mikey, I know you have, but everyone out there listening, if you watch Mikey Vandenhoevel shred in a light buggy, he went places that you didn't think was possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that you brought up Mikey. That's the actual comparison that Ryan Stingel made when we were having that conversation. But this field is pretty deep. Kind of the next wave of up-and-coming drivers is kind of an exciting bunch. You've got Jake Shillman. He was 5th in points last year. Seems to always be consistently running up near the front of the pack. Joe Jorgensen had 5 top fives last year. And Vincent Jaeger, I think last year was his second full year in light buggy. He had 6 top fives. He's another kid I'm keeping my eye on. Very calm when you talk to him, but he puts the helmet on. He's been showing a lot of speed, and we watched him get faster and faster throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. The more laps these guys get to put in these cars and get more time with their engine builders in the off season. Year after year, these guys and gals are progressing so much because it's not only seat time, they're learning off of one another, how each other races. So, I mean, light buggy is a big, big field. You can end your day in turn number 1 at Crannon, or you could get stuck in the back of the pack in the first part of the race and not even see the podium. I mean, if you're a good race car driver, you're going to find a way and a will to get up there. But at the same time, it's not going to be easy. There's so many great drivers in this field now.
Yeah, and it makes the random draw for starting spots at Anago super critical, because you could get absolutely hosed by that, start way in the back. And we're expecting like in the neighborhood of 25-ish cars, and no doubt a couple more could come out of the woodwork a little bit as the season gets closer. But if you pull a 24, say, in Anago for that round one start, you have a lot of work to do just to make the points inversion for the start on Sunday for round 2. You could crater your whole season just on a bad roll of the dice.
Yeah, absolutely. And you better have your mud muncher ready, because if you're at Antigo, 99% of the time we see rain at some point in the weekend. So
yeah, that's Wisconsin in early June.
It's a bummer. Yeah. And I mean, they're going to be ready to run, but it's just the luck of the draw. That's why. I mean, we do it that way, and however it shakes out, it's going to roll out. So we'll have to see how people can try to tame Colin Schultz in light buggy. And I think he's got a shot at it if anybody can do it. Like I said, again, he's a phenomenal driver.
I fully agree. I think it's going to take some bad luck for Schultz, and he's been able to dodge it. Like I said, two-time defending champ, 6 wins last year in 12 rounds. He's the guy to beat, hands down.
Who's your pick, Shade, if you had to throw something out there? I know you love the Twins and how they perform. They're very good at driving. I mean, Stingle, I mean, one of our favorites growing up forever. But, I mean, who is your pick this year? I mean, just throw one out there.
Well, if I had to pick someone to threaten Colin Schultz, I'm going to go with actually his teammate Taylor Roloff. The last couple of years, we've seen him, and I know I've told you this off the microphone before too, Roloff, it seemed like he started to break into the top 10 a couple of years ago, and then pretty soon he was running consistently 6th, 7th, 8th, and then now last year finally able to break through, picked up 2 wins. I know he was super excited. He's got a ton of momentum coming into this year. I think he's a legitimate threat. Maybe the title goes to someone else, but stays under the same awning.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be anybody's game, and that's a great pick. In my eyes, I would really pay attention to Taylor all year, because it seems like every broadcast, anytime we talk light buggy, his name always gets brought up. So light buggy is going to be a challenge for everyone, and weather great or weather bad, I mean, you got to show up and play at Antigo.
This next class, even more up for grabs, I think, Brent, short course cart. So last year, you remember, it came down to 2 points. Carter Zahara barely held off Gavin Plummer for the championship at Crandon. Both of those guys are out of the class now. They've graduated up to mod cart. You still have some really fast kids coming back. Race Visser had 2 wins last year. Wes Vandevort was the world champion last year. Finley Holcher, he also had 2 wins. And then you've got Lincoln Monsager. He had his best weekend to date in short course kart in the final rounds last year, 5th and then 2nd in the final round of the season. He's got some momentum. And then you've got some new kids on the block. And I found this really interesting. You've got some family ties to racing here with this new crop of drivers. You've got Faith Conrad. Her older brother Cody will be racing Super Stock this year. Her older sister Hope Conrad also racing in Stock Truck for this year. Then you've got Braden Bell. His big brother Caleb Bell also races in short course kart. And then you've got Hunter Van Zyl's little brother Sawyer Van Zyl. He'll be a rookie here in short course kart. But I think what really excites me about this crop of drivers, even though this is a youth entry-level class, this group has some really serious experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you call it the new kids on the block, because it's anybody's game in this class. I mean, they get a good truck. They get good people behind them. I mean, you look at Finley Holcher, 2 wins, very, very quick. Race Visser, he's just a great kid. He looks up to his father so much in Super Stock Truck, now in the Spec Pro Light. So, I mean, he has a future in this sport. A lot of these guys, and we talk about families, and we talk about Braden Bell and Faith Conrad. It's so good for the longevity of the sport right now, Shane, to see all this young competition working its way up to the top.
Yeah, that's why we get so excited about the youth classes, where, you know, those drivers, they're planting the seeds of what Champ Off-Road is going to be 10, 12, 15 years from now. You know, later on when we get into talking about like Pro Light, those drivers in a couple of years are going to be the ones that we're talking about now in short course kart. And another loaded youth class for this year is the 170 side-by-sides. Again, huge field. The unofficial entry list that I got my hands on showed 27 drivers. I expect that to jump up just a little bit. But again, another class just like short course kart, where last year's champion, Wyatt Olson, he has moved on to the 570s. So we will have a new champion this year. And as far as I can tell, the entire top 5 from last year has actually moved on. Wow. You've got Cody Krantz, Harper Hughes, Grayson Arneson. They all move up to the 570s. And then Raymond Denninger was not on the unofficial list. And I have to stress again, that's an unofficial list. So Denninger may still be in the 170s. But unofficially, that's the top 5 all out of the class. The only person who won a race last year who's coming back this year for sure is Tanner Tebow. How do you see that playing out? I mean, this, you're talking about potentially the whole top 5 in points being drivers who haven't been there before.
Well, I think it's really, really good for the sport. It's great for the 170s. I mean, a lot of those guys, Wyatt Olson, I mean, he was picked to win 90% of the time in my eyes. I mean, he was always there, very, very quick.
Yeah, him and Krantz.
Yeah, Cody Krantz, always fast. So it's like, hey, it gives these guys and gals a new breath of fresh air, because if I was a competitor in this class at that age, I couldn't tell you. I was playing with Tonka trucks back then. But, I mean, if I was them, I would be wanting to, hey, I want to beat my best buddy. But, hey, the older guys have moved on. They've moved up. Now it's our time to shine. So as a young kid, you want bragging rights. They're having fun, but you're going to see new winners, obviously, because the top five gone. So that's really, really exciting for the class.
Yeah, if you like intrigue and you like a wide open class, 170 side-by-side has it for you, because, like we said, I think Tebow was sixth or seventh in points last year. He's the only driver returning who won a race last year. So literally anybody's game, you know, pick a name out of the hat, you might pick the champion. This is something else interesting. So in short course kart, you've got that group of siblings, and you got Ray Spicer, Wes Vandevort, a couple second generation drivers. So out of those 27 drivers that I have on this, again, unofficial list for the 170s, I counted 25 of them that have a family tie to another racer in Champ Off Road. So they either have a sibling who races, a couple of them have cousins who race, and then a few have parents who race. You talk about off-road racing being a family sport. Almost an entire class, two dozen or more drivers, are part of racing families. That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool, and that's what keeps us coming back year after year, is the camaraderie of all the great drivers, the future drivers. I mean, you have a lot of history going back in a lot of these teams, and just the numbers that you come up with are just phenomenal, because people don't stop and take a look and think of how this sport keeps working. I mean, it's not easy, it's not cheap, but these families keep putting these young guns in these cars, and hey, I'm jealous. I mean, like I said earlier, we were out in the sandbox, probably throwing rocks over the fence, hoping to someday be on the track, but these kids get to do it at a young age. I can't imagine in 15 years what this sport's going
to
be.
Right, not only to be able to drive competitively at such a young age, but like we talked about in short course kart, some of these kids already have 3 seasons or more of seat time, and they're right. Still racing these youth classes. By the time they're moving on to, you know, stock truck or sportsman side by side, you're talking about 7-8 race seasons under their belt. These are, you know, we're building a supremely talented group of drivers in these youth classes.
Yeah, we definitely are. We're doing a great job at keeping things together, and I mean, these young drivers are going to be something to watch. And we talk about different classes in this sport, and they look up to these next divisions that we're going to talk about, like the sportsman side-by-sides. I mean, you're going to see a lot of these kids just keep working their way up, and someday, like you said, maybe see them in a Pro Light or a Pro 2.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned sportsman side-by-side. Let's talk about that one a little bit. This one's a little different. Most of the headlining contenders are coming back for 23. Jacob Blemke was the champion last year. He pulled what I like to call the Greg Gerlach. He won the championship without winning race, just like Greg Gerlach did back in 1994. Ben Berger was second. He had one win. You remember that points battle was super tight, and then Berger had an absolutely terrible luck final weekend at Crandon. Actually had to borrow a car from Nicole Fisher to make the race in the final round and couldn't quite get the job done to hold on to that title. Riley Marquardt, the third place driver in points, he'll be back. Bryce Carlson finished fifth in points. He had a win. He'll be back. And then perhaps the most exciting out of the bunch, Matt Vanderhayden, was seventh in points. Had an up and down season, but his highs were extremely high. He had 4 wins. He'll be back as well. Can you pick a favorite out of that group?
Man, Blemke, really, really quick. Ben Berger, very fast as well. I mean, we talk about these guys time and time again. It's if, hey, somebody don't hit the course marker, if somebody don't run into one another and roll over, it's you got to be in there at the end to finish this race and be on top. And I'm telling you, Bryce Carlson, he's a young gun, he's very quick, and all of a sudden, Shane, I mean, you go back and watch a lot of the tapes that we did last year, Bryce Carlson always in the top five. And so it's gonna be some kind of showdown in the sportsman side-by-sides, and these guys are looking to keep moving forward in their careers as well.
Yeah, I think you made a good point in there. And I think Sportsman Side-by-Side and all of Champ Off-Road might be the class where being consistent is the absolute most important. Like we talked about with Jacob Blemke, he didn't have to win a race to win the title. He just constantly finished. You can stack those fourth place finishes, third place finishes. Maybe you jump up, take a second here and there. You catch fire on the right day and get a win. That's even better. But just being consistent is so, so important in Sportsman Side by Side.
Yeah, consistency is the main game. I mean, you go back to the old days where the enduro trucks and the classics, you had to finish these races. And it's getting to the point where when you have 20, 30 cars in a side by side race, I mean, you have to get around everyone without shearing off a front spindle or shearing off a tie rod, something that can take you out. I mean, look at Ben. I mean, had some great runs and then all of a sudden just had some bad runs. I mean, you have to be consistent if you want to win the points. And like you said, the old Greg Gerlach, if you get a third, you get a fourth, you get a couple seconds, not even get a win through the year. Look at Corey Winter right there at the end. You know, I mean, consistency will bring you a championship. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Brent, you know who else is consistent and no doubt durable? It's the sponsor of our podcast, Amsoil. They invest so heavily in product research to ensure that they remain at the industry's forefront. And further testing occurs at racetracks around the world and right here in Champ Off-Road. Amsoil lubricants have helped off-road's biggest stars capture countless checkered flags and championships. Amsoil, run with us. Well, moving on, let's talk some truck racing a little bit here. Stock truck, you touched on it a little bit ago. Let's look back at last year in stock truck. Corey Holcher finished either first or second in every round, all 12 of them. He won the championship. I'm a numbers guy, so I crunched the numbers, looked at the points total. He averaged over 50 points per round. You only get 50 points for winning the race, so that means he averaged that many points over a whole season, just a tremendous run. The only guy who was close was Diesel Shanik, but rumor has it he's not racing full-time this year, if at all. And again, I'll gladly correct myself if I'm wrong on that, but that's what I've heard. Also in the field coming back for this year, you've got TJ Ewert, had a couple wins last year. Kyle Ambrosiak was fourth in points, had two second-place finishes and a trio of third-place finishes. Brian Piott was the round one winner in Antigo a year ago. So who in the world has a chance to stop Corey Holcher?
Ah, man, you have me... just thinking, dude, I'm serious. Like, Corey Holcher is so good. I mean, I remember talking to him at the banquet, 3 years ago with Scott and Braden Beauchamp. And he was asking Scott some questions at suspension and how to set up the truck. And I'm not expected to win, he said. And I know that. I'm just going to go out there and get some seat time. And I mean, kudos to him and his team because he is unstoppable when he's out front. Like, he is so crazy fast. And he's put in the work, and I'm very proud of him. I mean, without Diesel, boy, Kyle Ambrosiak showed a lot of speed. But again, I mean, ERX, I believe he hit the tire. I mean, going into Talladega turn, took out his spindle. I mean, took out the upper ball joint. Those are the races you can't have if you want to beat Corey Holcher. Because if Corey Holcher finishes, you probably have the percentages right down to it. But I guarantee you, 88% of the time, he wins.
You know, the numbers speak for themselves. He finished in the top two. The only, you know, that's remarkable by itself. Any driver who wants to threaten for the title this year, they've already had to be doing their homework, you know, putting the work in on the truck, putting the work in on themselves. I just don't know. I mean, the last couple of seasons, we have seen TJ Ewert kind of go on a hot streak, but we need to see that from him or from somebody else right from the first green flag in Antigo, or it's going to be the Corey Holcher show all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't get a chance to talk to Kyle Ambrosiak in the offseason here. I mean, usually we go up to Tomahawk, my brother and I, we go race up there on Circle Track. We talk, and he just loves his sport to death. I mean, Stan Ambrosiak, his grandfather back in the day, I remember watching tapes all the time, and they were always there, and his truck paint scheme kind of intertwines with what his grandpa ran. And I mean, I really feel he's the guy to watch this year. And Brian Piott, very, very quick, but can he keep it together? It's nothing. Sometimes he does. It's just maybe a easy parts failure or something out of his hands. I mean, if he settles down and keeps running the way he's running, he's going to be a big contender for that championship, but you got to finish every race.
Yeah, and you remember Piott was a rookie last year and still came up, showed up in round one and took that race win. So he's capable, no doubt about it. But like you said, man, you got to keep, you know, drawing aces out of the deck if you're going to keep up with Holter the way he ran last year.
Yeah, you ain't a kid. I mean, he's my pick right now. I mean, unless he has a bad season, I'll even knock on some wood for him, because I don't want to put that on anyone, because he deserves to be up there. You're putting that much time into it. That truck works and it lands nice and he looks so comfy in it. So stock truck's going to be fun to watch. It's always one of our favorite truck classes of the day, because it's early in the day and it gets our blood flowing, because you really have to drive these things to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with you, Brent. Another class that does get my blood pumping, and I know you're the same way, is Pro Buggy. And we need to make that clear. Was Super Buggy? Well, it's been Pro Buggy and Super Buggy at times. This year, officially Pro Buggy again, so they'll be racing the full schedule, including at Mid-America Outdoors. So congratulations. You guys are in the pro ranks once again. But to start off talking about the field in Pro Buggy, first, Mike Hester has decided to step out of off-road racing, so we bid farewell to him. He was the 2020 class champion. He's got over 100 career wins and one heck of a short course off-road racing career, if this is truly the end for Mike Hester.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. Mike Hester, he's so fast. He comes from a long ways away, week in and week out, and he's always putting in the time. And to have that many career wins, we only know a certain amount of people in our sport that have that many wins. And he's a great guy, a great champion. He's very, very smart at what he does. I mean, but then you look at Michael Meister. I mean, got a chance to talk with him a couple nights ago. He's so interested in this year, and he's a hard worker. And I mean, we keep going down. Look at this, Steinhardt, Booth. I mean, Larry Jobe, he showed a win last year. And we have some newcomers coming in as well.
Yeah, Jaden Lemke, that's an exciting name to come into Pro Buggy. You remember he used to race Light Buggy, split the seat with his dad, Todd Lemke, who was a longtime fixture in Light Buggy. They went out and got a car this offseason. Last couple of years, he's been winning pro ATV hair scramble races, so he's staying in race shape probably as well as anybody, but he'll be the exciting rookie to watch this year. And you named those other names. You got the ageless wonder, Mark Steinhardt, who had two wins last year again. He continues to outrun Father Time somehow. But is there anybody who can make the jump? Maybe a younger guy like Billy Booth that can put an anchor on Michael Meister?
Yeah, I really believe Billy Booth. We talked about him a lot, and it was his rookie year. His father really does a great job with the car, making sure those motors and those carburetors are all prepped and everything is right on every week he puts that truck or that car, excuse me, on the track. But Billy Booth is a phenomenal driver. He's in a great car. I mean, he is one to watch. I mean, yeah, granted, we got Michael Meister, but Billy Booth is probably going to be that guy that you're going to see up on the podium quite a bit. And don't be shocked if he throws down 2, 3, 4 wins. If he gets on a hot streak and that team finds that setup and that right posture that he needs to have every weekend, he could be somebody scary. He could.
Yeah, another guy to watch too is Dale Eberts. You remember he had a win last year, and then actually his son Ezra filled in for him at ERX, and Ezra got a win. So clearly something going right under the Eberts awning. He could be another guy to watch too. He consistently ran up front last year.
Yeah, Eberts really does a great job. I mean, they're traveling a long ways to come and run the Champ Off-Road Series. So, I mean, we got to thank all these guys. I mean, like we talk about getting our blood flowing and getting excited. I mean, we respect these guys to the moon, man. Like, they do their best to be the best driver they can in front of a lot of people. And it's not easy. Steinhardt's been around a long time. I mean, I'm excited to watch this class. I don't really have a lot more to say than I can't wait till it shakes out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like we've said about basically all these classes, Meister going for that three-peat, but Steiny trying to outrun Father Time. There's a lot of people I think that would love to see one more Mark Steinhardt championship season. I think our pal Nolan Castellian is probably top five names on that list too.
Absolutely. Where is Nolan? We got to get Nolan on this thing, because he's smart at everything about our sport, and he just has been there. He's been putting his hands on that fence at Turn 1 at Cran, and just like we were when we were younger, and he knows a lot about these buggy classes like you do, Shane.
Well, you're looking ahead a little bit on the calendar. He should be on episode 3, so we can look forward to talking with Nolan at that time.
That's good.
He said he's excited to be on the show because he said he's got some pretty bold predictions for this year. So look forward to that on a future episode. But looking ahead to another class here in 2023, Pro Turbo Side-by-Side. This class, on the last episode, we talked about Pro 2 and how deep the talent is in that field. Once I was looking at the names in the Pro Turbo side-by-side field, I realized, holy cow, this one is arguably just as good, if not better. You've got last year's champ, Hamish Kelsey, the first driver from New Zealand to win a stateside short course race in 2 decades. He barely held off Kyle Chaney, who had 4 wins last year. You've got Robert Loire, who had 3 wins last year. You've got the Van Eperens, Andrew Carlson, CJ Greaves, who was the 2020 champ in this class. And then you've got the next group, kind of group 1B, Greg Michaud. He was the Nitro Rallycross side-by-side champion this last fall and winter. He had 1 podium finish last year, but certainly he's got the momentum. Johnny Holcher, who won a race in both Pro Light and Pro 2 last year, coming back again for Pro Turbo. And a fast newcomer, Jeb Boodle. He's a regular in the Mid-America Outdoors side-by-side series. This is some serious talent in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the names are just phenomenal in this class. I mean, anytime you say Hot Rod Ronnie Van Eperen, I mean, they know how to drive. They've been around this sport and around these cars since they became into Champ Off-Road. I mean, it's so crazy to watch CJ Greaves out there get a win. Van Eperen, Carlson, and then Loire really turned it up last year, especially turning it up, Hamish Kelsey. Very, very smart driver. You're going to see some big things out of that team coming soon. Not going to spill any of the milk, but I'll tell you, he can drive. They have great equipment. Kyle Chaney, I mean, that was one hell of a show last year in Pro Turbo.
Yeah, and it has been that way all 3 years so far of Champ Off-Road. We've had 3 different champions. Like I said, CJ back in 2020, Rodney Van Eperen in 21, and then last year, Hamish Kelsey. Do you think that run continues? Do you think we get a new champion this year?
I think we do, but I don't want to hope that Hamish has a bad year, because I think he's just put the fuel in the tank in his race program and he's ready to rock and roll. I think he's ready to show these guys that, hey man, I'm coming from a long ways away, but I'm here to win as well as CJ Greaves is. But anytime you say CJ Greaves, it's like, hey, the kid can wheel anything. I mean, you put him in a shopping cart, he could win in Pro 2. Like, the kid is awesome. So you can't take him out of it. But like you said, Michaud, Johnny Holcher, Owen Van Eperen, very, very quick. Michaud is really looking fast in anything he's putting his hands on, because, man, it seems like his name gets brought up. Yeah, I follow him on Instagram and Facebook, but he's a great race car driver, and you can't count out Johnny Holcher. I mean, a teammate of mine at the end of last year, still a teammate of mine, like, very cool individual, wants to win. Mom and Pa and the whole race team are putting in a lot of work, and watch for them to do big things as well. I mean, I couldn't tell you who's going to win the championship right now. Even at halfway point of the season, unless it's a big gap on someone, it's anybody's game. I mean, don't count out Andrew Carlson. He's come a long, long way in a short period of time.
Yeah, and I think kind of the elephant in the room too, Kyle Chaney, that guy wins Pro Turbo races in every other series at every other track around the country. He once again won the King of the Hammers side-by-side race. It just seems like he comes to race in Champ Off-Road and then the bad luck finds him somehow. But I'm expecting him to be a serious title contender this year. Like I said, he's won everywhere else. It's almost unthinkable that he hasn't been able to put together a championship run here in Champ Off-Road.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm sorry, Kyle, for when you're listening to this, that I didn't bring you up earlier, because it seems like for years that's all we've talked is Kyle Chaney. Kyle Chaney, he's great. He's a good friend of ours. He's very fast. And anytime he's in that race, I don't care. We've seen it at Anago. You start dead last and come all the way to the front and then start on fire. I mean, we remember that like yesterday. That you're nothing you can do. I'm just glad he's okay. But if he's in the race, damn, it's going to be one hell of a shootout.
Yeah, you talk about another guy who's experienced the highest highs and the lowest lows over the last couple seasons. It's got to be Kyle Chaney in Pro Turbo side-by-side.
Yeah, you ain't a kid. It's just, it's a bummer. It's racing. Everybody's like, oh, it's racing. Yeah, but I don't know how much these guys can really get beat up because they keep coming back.
Well, off-road racing is a strange addiction, as you and I both know very well. Our last group of addicts, I guess, to talk about here on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. Let's talk a little bit about Pro Light. So last year, the champion was Kyle Greaves. He had four wins, just edged out Brock Hager, but Hager is gone. He's now racing with the Polaris factory team out in the desert, so he will not be in the Pro Light field. But you've got those other contenders. You've got Trey Gibbs. You've got Johnny Holcher, both proven winners in Pro Light. And then you look at the next tier of drivers, a group of really hungry young drivers who any of these guys could take a huge step forward this year. Maddox Bailey, Connor Berry, Travis Milhausen Jr., Jake Rosales, and Matt Wood. All those guys were on the podium at different times last year.
Yeah, Pro Light is stacked, and it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, Brock Hager, it's a bummer what he's got going on. Great for him. I mean, it's what he wants to do at his time in his life. He's really young. He's proven that he's one of the best ever in Pro Light. He's fun to watch. That's why just bums me out not to see him. But Kyle Greaves, the kid's just on rails. He gets out front. He put the stampede on everybody at Crandon. Had four wins. Gibbs, very, very fast. Johnny Holcher, I mean, we know he's going to be there. It depends on what track you're at. I mean, at any given time, you look at it. Connor Berry putting in seat time all the time in anything. I mean, Rosales, he's going to be there. He's going to be running. I believe, was it Mickey Thomas, right? He's teammates with Mickey Thomas.
Yeah, the two Georgia boys.
Yeah, the Georgia boys, yeah. So, like, great father. He's just into it, really, really deep into this sport now, and he's fast. Matt Wood, look at that, a former
Cole Mamer
chassis. Yeah, I just brain fart there, but a Cole Mamer chassis. I mean, he took off right where Cole left off with it. It's a bad to the bone truck, and I had an opportunity to run with these guys last year. They are fast, and it's crazy to have the respect that I do for them. I just wish a lot of the crowd would get to feel what it's like into one of those trucks to really give Kyle Greaves and the Johnny Holcher and Gibbs the credit when they land on top of the box. It's not easy, Shane.
Yeah, I've heard from some drivers that, you know, out of the pro classes, Pro Light is actually the hardest to drive because the class is almost at a point now where it's too fast for the suspension rules. So you're absolutely hauling the mail, especially on a big track like Crandon or ERX or Bark River. Then you've got these huge jumps and the track gets so rutted up, almost like an outdoor motocross track, that it's almost like you're just wrestling the truck for the entire race.
Yeah, it's a muscle bound, just a freight train in there. You really have to hold on to anything you can. Like, I mean, the trucks, they jump well, they land decent. I mean, it's no Cadillac by all means, but you really have to focus on what's ahead of you. Everything, I mean, it's a lot slower in there than I would have thunk, but there's so much going on. Like in the corners, you really got to trail brake. You got to make sure you get back on the gas because they like to bike. That's one of our favorite words on the broadcast is getting up on the bicycle. But it's a real thing. I mean, granted, I've ran off-roads in the past, but seemed like I was talking to Louie on my headset and I was telling Johnny at the end of the weekend, like, man, these things are so hard, but yet so fun. But man, to run out front and have a good truck and to click off laps and not make mistakes like a lot of these guys do every weekend is very, very impressive. And I just love this sport to death. And I can't wait to watch Pro Light because there's so much talent in such a great class.
Yeah. And some more talent on the way too. A couple of former Modkart kids making the full-time jump now to Pro Light. So it's kind of nice. We get to put a bow on everything here. We started out talking about youth classes. Now we're back to it. Michael Funk, Antonio Inglese, both coming out of Modkart. We saw both of those drivers have a cup of coffee in Pro Light at the end of last year, but they're here to stay. So a little bit more excitement to the class. It'll be fun to see those kids take that step and start to develop as well. But looking at the class as a whole, who do you think is the bigger threat to Kyle Greaves this year? Is it Trey Gibbs or is it going to be Johnny Holcher or maybe somebody else?
Well, I mean, Kyle, they have everything, their ducks in a row, and I mean, they know what they're doing. So, I mean, I'm sure their truck's already ready to rock for Antigo, the opener. They're already out in Wheatland, Missouri, working that truck and getting all the bugs out if there was any bugs in it. I mean, they're ready to rock and roll, so it's going to be tough. But if I had to pick anyone, I mean, man, I got to go with my boy Johnny Holcher. He's going to be there. But Trey Gibbs really turned it on. And at the big tracks, I'd have to put my hands on Kyle Greaves and Trey Gibbs. But at the short technical drivers tracks, I mean, that's when you're going to see the Maddox Bailey, Connor Berry, Johnny Holger maybe come to the top of the board, but Kyle's going to be there. But you have to try, and I couldn't tell you exactly who I would pick that's going to knock Kyle Greaves off, because there's four or five that I could put in my head right now.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, and I did earlier as well. There's a big group of drivers in here that are still deep in their development as drivers, so it could just come down to who can take that next step, who can find the magic formula a little bit. Like you said, ProLite going to be very, very fun to watch. So a note here, if you're keeping score at home over these last two episodes of the podcast, you'll notice we haven't talked about Pro 4 yet. We're going to save that for a later show. And with that, Brent, that just about wraps up this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. Do you have any final thoughts looking ahead? Antigo staring us in the face just about 3 weeks away as we record now.
Yeah, man, the time is flying by. I mean, it's crazy to think that how long Crandon was and how far it's been since we've been at the big house. Now we're already going to Antigo. I mean, as we get older, it's just a bummer how fast these years go by. But, hey, it's going to be great. Antigo's just around the corner, like you said. A lot of these guys have put testing in. A lot of guys this weekend are going to Lena and going to put down some laps and get ready for the Champ Off-Road opener. So, I mean, hey, I'm excited. We're going to talk again before Antigo. And, dude, it's going to be anybody's game, and I couldn't tell you who the winners are going to be. That's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, I'm just as excited as you are, Brent. You talked about the long off season. I actually have at least one new gray hair in my beard, so Father Time still undefeated. But like you said, plenty more to come from us before Antigo. We'll have a few more episodes out before then. Look for us on episode 3, talking with our pal Nolan Castellian and his bold predictions for the season. But that'll do it for this one on the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsny. He's Brent Smith, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.